Hello. What's up, you guys? My name is Stephanie. This is Side B, the podcast. I don't have a guest this week because I just didn't feel like it, to be honest. And I had originally planned on actually spending some time talking to you about life. And I'll do a little bit of that, but mostly this week I am doing a rewind to August of 2015 when I interviewed Matt Duncan from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I feel like it's apropos because this week on Riverdale, they did the Hedwig and the Angry Inch episode. And I follow like the creative team behind Hedwig on social media, and they were all super jazzed about it. I saw a couple clips. It's cool. It is what it is. It's Riverdale. It's Hedwig. It's great. But then when I was thinking about what I should do for the podcast this week, I was like, oh, I'll do a rewind. Who should I pick? Oh, look at that. Matt Duncan. So there you go. And my interview with Matt was about 30 minutes long, so I don't want to spend a whole lot of time just talking about randomness and then making you listen to a whole 30-minute interview afterwards. So it's going to be a little short and sweet, whatever. I mean, we're all still in this wonderful time of quarantine and isolation, so there's not really a whole lot to talk about, I guess. I have been going nuts this week. Well, first, let's see. I went to my father's house for Easter, and I know social distancing and not doing what you're supposed to do or whatever, but honestly, like, my family is my family, and it's not like there was 20 of us, there was 3 of us, so whatever. We're all fine, and if we're not, we only endangered ourselves. I haven't seen other people, so I don't know what to say. If you want to give me shit about it, it's whatever. And actually, my dad came over today and took me to the grocery store. So it's so bizarre, the whole like gloves and mask and everything, which obviously like we have to do. That's what we have to do. But it's bizarre. It's a weird time that we're all living through right now. There was family stuff. Happy to have seen my family and gotten away from my house for a couple days. But I don't believe I'll be doing that again. And I bought a new converter thingy for my Nintendo 64 to try to to convert it and set it up with my TV. And I got it to work last night, but I don't think the controller was working. So I have to try, one, a different game, and two, a different controller, and see if it's the controller or if it's just like this whole system. I don't know. We'll see. Then I also this week went crazy looking for my Nintendo 3DS. I found it. I've only played with it one time. But I want a Switch and I'm not going to pay $600 for it. So in the meantime, I'll play with what I've got here. And what I've got here is old, dated video games, I guess. So anyway, what are you going to do? I don't think I'm doing all that great, to be honest with you guys. And I'm not going to entirely, like, unleash all of my issues out into the world on a podcast. But I had a really rough night on Thursday. And today is Saturday that I'm recording this. Like, you're going to hear the show tomorrow. But whatever. So Friday, I decided that it's time to get back onto Talkspace. So I am starting with a new therapist because my last one quit the app, which is why I stopped using it. And maybe I'll get fixed during this whole thing, because I'm a little damaged. And I put a smile on and I try really hard to pretend like I'm not, but I really am. So it's time to fix that. Because what else are we going to do? And obsessing over NSYNC is not the answer. Although it is fun. They're being very active on social media. So that's been like my biggest distraction from life. Podcasting and NSYNC. Amazing. So there is that. This past Friday, the 25 Years of Disney concert thing that Joyce and I went to back in November was aired on the BCEFA site Friday night, and they raised $600,000 or something. I don't know. And the original members of the Wonders from That Thing You Do also did a live stream Friday night, and they did a watch along of the film where the four of them plus special guests were on YouTube, and you had to watch your own copy of the film. And I don't understand people who don't know how to follow directions, but for the first, I don't know, 20 minutes, people were like, what do you mean you're not going to show the film? You need to show the film. Why else are we here? Blah, blah, blah. Before one of them finally said, like, we can't because of copyright. Go watch your own copy, which is what we told you to do. And truly, the entire week leading up to it, they said, here's what you need to do. You need to have your own copy going, and you need to have us up on your YouTube screen, and we're all going to press play at the same time, and there you go. And people don't know how to read or follow directions. I don't understand. Although, you know, same time as we're all in quarantine, people don't know how to follow directions. So it's great. And yeah, people have been talking about how NSYNC might have a reunion since they've been so active and talking to each other and stuff. And I was like, it would happen now. It would happen when we physically can't go to concerts. Like, if they announce a reunion, like, what are they going to do? We're reuniting on Zoom. Like, what are they going to do? They can't do a concert. They can't do an appearance. So it doesn't really matter right now. But I guess we'll see. You would think that I would be reading more. I have not really been reading. I have decided to do a rewatch / finally finish all episodes of The Sopranos. My mother and sister watched it religiously. I caught it most of the time. So there's a lot that I remember, but there's a lot that I don't. So I'm finally going to do that. And I've also decided to watch all of the Marvel movies in chronological order. Not release order. Chronological order. So, like, I just watched Captain America, the first American soldier or whatever it's called, and Captain Marvel. I literally just finished Captain Marvel before I started recording this. And I enjoyed Captain Marvel a lot. I actually had never seen it, so I'm glad that I finally did, I guess. It was really good, though. I liked it, and I'm, like, ready to start the next movie, which I think is Iron Man. I have to double-check, because I'm not as schooled in this as I should be. It is. It's Iron Man, and then Iron Man 2, and then The Incredible Hulk. Anyway, if you're interested in watching all of the Marvel movies in chronological order, all of them except for 3 are on Disney Plus. And the ones that are not on Disney Plus are The Incredible Hulk, Spider-Man Homecoming, and Spider-Man Far From Home. Everything else is on Disney Plus. So if you have Disney Plus and you want to watch all the Marvel movies, you can. Except you have to find Spider-Man's and the Hulk somewhere else. I wonder why. I mean, the Spider-Man, I get the whole Sony thing, and that's probably why it's not on Disney Plus, but I don't know why the Hulk isn't. That doesn't make sense to me. Also, this Incredible Hulk isn't Mark Ruffalo, right? So that's going to be weird, too. But I don't think it's Edward Norton. I think it's, oh no, maybe it is Edward Norton. It's not the other guy. Because there was, like, 2 Hulk movies with 2 different actors. I don't remember. But I guess I'll see. So that's what I've got going on. And I'm very tired of everything. I've ordered myself a lot of presents. I did a little clothes shopping. I bought some crystals that I'm excited to receive. What else did I buy? Now I can't remember. But it was more than just crystals and clothing. So that's cool. I'm debating getting a new pair of headphones because I actually just got my Studio Beats back from my father, who I had let borrow them because I had solo beats and I wasn't actively podcasting. So I was like, I don't really need a set of headphones. But now that I am actively podcasting with 3 podcasts, not 1, not 2, 3, I decided to take my better headphones back. And I think they literally just lived in his car. I'm pretty sure the batteries exploded at one point because there's, like, sticky shit all over these headphones, and I tried to clean them and they're still a little gross. And also the leather, like, cushion on the top was completely flaking apart. So I have black crap all over my hands, and I tried to clean it a little bit, but I have to clean more. And I don't know what my dad did with this case. And, like, the zippers got, like, crusty shit on it. Like, I was like, wow, awesome. These are, like, $350 headphones. I'm really happy that that's how they've been treated. But it's my own fault. I did that. So, fun times. My solos are all like the cushions on the earpieces are all crusty too. Like they're like old and flaking. I don't know how to fix that, but that's part of why I wanted like my other headphones back. Oh well. I have started doing those Rex Lace lanyard things. I bought some of that plastic lanyard stuff. And I told all my friends I would make them keychains. And I really wish that I had another puzzle to do because I've already done my puzzle and put it back in its box. But I'm not working. There's no, seemingly no possibility of work in the near future. And I'm just sitting at home. So I'm trying to watch all the things. I'm podcasting all the things. And I would like to read. I would like to video game. I am practicing French with a vengeance. So I don't know, but we need to do things to keep busy. I should do like workout videos. I should get super hot during this. Like I'm stuck inside. I should fix my brain and fix my body and be amazing. And then come out and people will be like, oh my God, who are you? And I'll be like, you don't know her. Bye. I'm just ready to start over. Like, where's my reset button? Because it's time. So anyway, I'm going to give you guys the interview with Matt Duncan. I don't think I'll come back on after. I think it's just going to be me talking to you right now and then the interview with Matt and have a good one. So I'm going to take this opportunity right now to say that I really appreciate you listening. And if you want to watch the video with Matt Duncan, it's on YouTube, which I believe is on my Anchor page. I believe there's a link to the YouTube on there. So you can find all of my interviews on there, the ones that are way over an hour that I will not use as a rewind because no one needs to hear all that. Please remember to subscribe on your preferred platform. And if you could take a moment to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, I would really appreciate it. And yeah, so thank you so much for listening. You're amazing. I hope that you're faring better than I am right now in your quarantine. And please continue to stay safe and social distance and do what we have to do until we don't have to do it anymore. And don't do anything stupid. And enjoy this interview with Matt Duncan. Matt Duncan is the one with the green hair, by the way, in case you're like, who are we talking about in Hedwig? If you don't want to go look up the video, green hair, amazing. He's the new Matt Duncan, I think, on his social media. But this was 5 years ago, so I digress. Yeah, enjoy. Bye. Pride is cold comfort for the lonely man. My name is Stephanie Walsh. I am here with Matt Duncan, the bassist from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, among other things. First, can you, well, say hi, I guess.
Hello.
You have two albums.
Yeah.
That are available online. And physical copies too, right?
Yeah. Records and CDs.
Awesome.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, the first one came out in 2010, I think, and it took forever to make. It took me like 3 or 4 years. I'd been recording stuff on the computer since I was like a little kid, but I hadn't really like written songs. They're just sort of, I don't know, little ditties. And I got out of this band I'd been in for years and suddenly had all this inspiration. And I wrote those songs, and it took me forever to figure out how to make them something I was happy with. So I put that one out, and then the next one was a little easier. I think it came out in 2013, so I think it took a year to make that one. I think I'm getting faster and faster. I actually have a plan now, starting in September, to do 2 songs a month and just put them up on SoundCloud.
Okay, so you're not going to work on a third album, or?
Not right now. The idea of starting something that wouldn't come out for like a year is just too sad. So maybe I'll start that process.
Then once you have enough, would you put them on?
I think at the very least I'd put them on like a record and sell that at the end of the process. But I don't know. I'm going to see where it goes.
Okay. And how would you describe the sound of your albums? Because I feel like the first one and the second one sound very different.
They're pretty different. Yeah, I mean, my skills got better in between the two, and my equipment got better between the two because I made a lot of money off the first album. But also I think I was sort of moving from the 60s into the 70s sound wise. And I think I'm probably just going to end up staying on in the 70s. I think that's sort of like my home decade, other than the one I'm currently existing in, you know. So sound-wise, right. Sound-wise, it's my sonic sonic decade of choice.
Yeah, Idle Hands is so 70s. Mm. I mean, you guys play that in the lobby, right? Or in the theater? During seating, I guess.
You can save a little money if you just get, like, the local goofballs to give you their money to play before the show.
I heard it on the album, and I was like, I know this. Why do I know this? And I couldn't figure out. And then Shayna Lee, she was like, yeah, it's in the theater. Obviously, you've heard it. I'm like, oh, okay.
That sounds about right.
I tweeted this to you. You probably didn't see it. Has anyone told you that you sound like Art Alexakis from Everclear?
No. No one has ever said that.
Are you familiar with him?
I mean, only to the degree that any kid that grew up in the 90s is, okay. You know.
Well, I'm a big Everclear fan. Because okay. I downloaded your first album, and I don't even remember which song it was, but I didn't, like, it automatically started playing, you know, like after the download was done.
Yeah.
So I wasn't paying attention, and I was like, is this a new Everclear song? What is it? And I looked at it, it was you, and I'm like, wait.
I think I could see that.
What artists inspire you?
So I did a lot of games.
Well, the big ones, Steely Dan, Judy Sill, Joni Mitchell, Prefab Sprout. But I don't think all the inspirations, I feel like by the time I get a finished song, I'm just not, the stuff in my head just isn't as weird as the stuff that I'm putting into it. You know what I mean? I put in all this like bizarro sort of like jazz pop stuff in, and what comes out is like, you know, Stevie Wonder, Billy Joel. So I don't know why it happens like that. I think I might be entering more stranger terrain in the near future, but I don't know. So yeah, I love all that 70s sort of jazz pop. Well, Prefab Sprout is 80s, but well, yeah, anyway. I like the fusion sort of stuff. That's my favorite.
Has working on Hedwig inspired a different sound for you at all, or are you?
Almost. I kind of want it to. I think specifically the playing all those covers, all those like 80s, late 70s punk covers, has been really fun.
Is that with Tits of Clay?
Tits of Clay.
Okay.
And I think I really love the energy of it, but I don't know if it'll actually like seep into my music. I love singing those Richard Hell songs, but it's hard to imagine that voice being, or I mean, it's hard to imagine writing a punk song, I guess.
Okay.
So we'll see. I wrote a sort of Lou Reed-y kind of song that I thought maybe the Tits would play. That's about as close as I've got.
So can you explain like how Tits of Clay came to be? I read that there's a rumor online that I know is not true. But the rumor is that you guys were a garage band and like they found you as a unit and were like, oh, you guys need to be the band for Hedwig.
It's
been circulated through fans. Okay. Like I saw that during Garen's run, like fans, and I was like, that's definitely not accurate. They are all four separate people, but
what? What story would be more inspiring? What
the
answer?
Truth. Tell the
okay.
truth.
It's not true. I mean, really, we were recruited for the show, and Tits of Clay was sort of a vehicle for us to. It was a lot of birds with one stone. You know, get ourselves comfortable with each other as players, and get out and play some bars. So it felt like more of a band in that way. And also it's an opportunity for new Hedwigs to, because a lot of these guys knew little or nothing about punk or even like rock and roll is a little, just in general. So anyway, it's like a crash course in punk rock for any Hedwig that wants it. So yeah, and it's also just kind of a fun thing to do on the side.
Yeah. So you guys, Hedwig's been on Broadway for a little over a year, so how long have you guys been performing as Titch and Clay?
I think our first gig was like doing previews for Neil's run, I think. So yeah, we've been doing it since the show started or a little bit before.
How often do you guys have gigs? I know you have one coming up in September, but I feel like that's the first one since I like got really involved in like being a fan.
It's pretty random. I mean, things have been so busy. Basically since Michael C. Hall, I mean, we had John, and there were some key changes involved. We had John's injury, and that was, you know, that changed things up a bit. We had Rebecca coming in, and then, you know, Tay Diggs, we had all these key changes. I don't know, there's been a lot more going on, I guess, lately. But yeah, so I don't know. We got that one in September.
But you also have an EP coming out, is that right?
It's a release party for the EP.
Right, so when did you guys work on an EP?
Last winter? Gosh, I don't even... It's been a while. It took a while to get all the funds together and everything.
Was that like a crowdfunding thing? Or okay.
Yeah,
And are these original songs?
No, they're covers. Although
all covers?
They're all covers. Although one of the songs is it's Michael C. Hall doing a Bob Dylan song, and that was like an original arrangement. It doesn't really sound anything like the Bob Dylan version. So that's original-ish.
Okay.
But the other four songs that each of us sing are basically as close as we could get to the originals, with a minimal amount of studio time, and you know.
So is it all four of you sing?
We each took a turn.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's what you would expect at a live show too. You guys kind of rotate the.
Yeah, we all took turns.
So you were saying there were key changes and a lot of things going on. What are some of your biggest challenges working at Hedwig?
I mean, I think the hardest thing is just having to keep, I don't know, it's a strange thing. There's like 2 hours almost every day of my life now where I can't veer from the plan. And it's a weird feeling to not be able to move the way you want to, or I don't know, I think there are certain times, I mean, like learning these key changes, that was the most difficult thing, but more often than not, it's just like trying to keep yourself, trying to be a good part of the show every night, just in sort of like your presence and your acting and all that stuff. Because, I mean, playing the songs is easy. I've done that my whole life. But the acting, you can call it that, is... It's a little difficult.
So are you like directed to like, okay, you need to shrug when she says this and you have to do...
There are some specific things, but I mean, I think we all approach it differently because we didn't get a lot of direction.
Right.
But I mean, my personal approach is to try and respond the way I think I would if I were just hearing it for the first time. So there, you know, little responses here and there. And I feel like even if no one really notices, I like the idea that if you looked over at me for, I don't know why you would, because there's like a huge, beautiful lady.
When you see the show that many times, you start to look at other things.
That's kind of the answer, I guess. But I like the idea that if you looked over at me, you'd be like, oh, there's Jacek, as opposed to like, here's this random dude from the bar scene.
Do you have like a character like interpretation in your head like of how Jacek works?
Yeah, but it's been pointed out to me that it's not that far from who I actually am. I play it as a clueless bass player. I get confused about jokes or, you know, a lot of this. You
know. I've
seen it. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So sometimes I'm like, sometimes I hate the jokes, sometimes I don't understand them, you know, disturbed by the conflict that goes on between him and Yitzhak.
So yeah, what do you feel like his relationship is to Hedwig?
It depends on the Hedwig. There've been a whole range of, you know, there are like nice Hedwigs and mean Hedwigs. And, I mean, they're all inherently mean, but
right.
You know, there's just a lot of different ways to play the character. Yeah.
Does it ever feel redundant? Sometimes
we're
doing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, we're closing in on 500 shows. So, you know, at this point, it feels like a job, but it's just the best job I've ever had and probably will have. So, yeah, there are definitely days when I would rather be doing something else, but still, like, it's pretty amazing.
What made you want to do Hedwig? How did that come up for you?
I didn't see it coming at all. Stephen Truss asked me if I wanted to do it. And pretty much, I think he sort of hinted. I think he sent me a text message, like, out of the blue, like, gee, it would be great if you could play bass for Hedwig. And I was like, ha 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 ha. Yeah.
So you've known Stephen Truss then, like that?
Yeah, I've known him for years. Yeah, he lived in Lexington, Kentucky for a long time, which is the same place that Justin and I are from. So I think, you know, as far as like people that he knew, and musicians that he knew and trusted, that was the place he was looking. So. And we've, you know, we've been friends, and I've done little bits of work for him here and there over the years. He was a big supporter of my old band years ago, and we've remained friends.
Did you have any idea that it would last so long, that it would be so successful?
No. That's still, I think, like the craziest thing, other than just living here at all, which is still really bizarre.
So you moved to New York for Hedwig?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I feel like if I'd come here and it was just like a flop, I'd have been like, that sounds about right. But the idea of like coming here and being in such a massively successful Broadway show is pretty unreal. And we definitely thought for a long time that Neil would finish and it'd be over. So definitely we didn't think we'd still be here at this point. Time.
So you've been familiar with Hedwig then? Were you like a fan of Hedwig?
Yeah.
Who do you want to see play Hedwig?
I think I want to see Jack Black. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there are a million, not a million. If you gave me enough time and a pad and paper, I could name like 30 people.
But can come back to that if you want to email me a list later.
Maybe so. I mean, somehow it seems like a good exercise just to throw that out into the cosmos. And maybe like, you know, butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Jack Black is Hedwig. I don't know.
Crazy.
As of this moment, that's my preference. Because I can just, can't you just imagine him doing like his Jack Black thing? With the head, I don't know.
For sure. It would be amazing.
It would be pretty good, I think. And, of course, he would sing it ridiculously well. So, yeah.
So, I don't want to ask who your favorite has been, because that's not really a fair question. But what are some of, like, your impressions of each one? Like you had said before, they're a nice head. So, like, starting with Neil, what was your...
Neil was... totally absorbed in the character. From the very first moment I saw him, he was already Hedwig. And he's a method actor, so he would come out of his dressing room as Hedwig. He was sort of like a force of nature. I mean, everybody's been great, but he definitely, like, just his whole approach to it was so intense. I think it was actually good for us not being actors at all. It was like, boom, 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 you know, you better get ready because here's Neil.
Right. So,
I mean, and the other thing about him, his ad-libs were so unbelievable. I don't know, I mean, maybe you've noticed this if you've read the original script that they sell, but there's at least 20, if not 30 lines that are official parts of the script now that he just rattled off the top of his head.
Wow.
And they came out, I mean, a couple of them might have needed a revision or two, but they pretty much came out right. The big crazy one being, the original line was just, what is it, well, he ran up with that bad boy he met on Christian Mingle. Done. And he added, or whatever we used to call it back then, church. And he said that just out of the blue, and we were like, well, I mean, we were laughing, but
right.
inside we were like, where did that come from? You know? Of course, that's the line. And it was never anything but that from then on. So that was really impressive. Andrew, I feel like, just sort of like kicked down the door and did it, and then just like was off in the night. I mean, he did have the shortest run, so of course it was going to feel a little bit like that, but I feel like he's the only one that it took no toll on. He's such a, like, just sort of badass person. I think he's like, yeah, I did Hedwig for a bit. You know, everybody else is like, Hedwig. And he was a lot of fun to hang out with, and he was sort of like the quick and dirty Hedwig. There were lots of F-bombs. So many F-bombs. He was great, and Michael C. Hall was like the hapless Hedwig. He's always like falling into the audience and stuff. And he was great because he, everybody else is sort of like entertainers, and he kind of approached it more as like an actor. So it was like the farther along we went, it just got more and more perfect. It was just interesting to watch his process, because everybody else was like, you could tell they've always sort of been like on stage type people, like ready to entertain or whatever. And he like became that entertainer from like an actor lead perspective. So it was really cool. Also, I loved his voice. Yeah. He when he came in, he actually sounded like Nina Simone. But he got that same comment from Peter and I without us having talked about it, and I think he was like, maybe I should tone it down. So he sort of pulled back on the Nina, but he came into the show singing basically like that. Anyway.
And then there was
John. I mean, you should just read whatever like New York Times piece there is about John's show, because it was like, he just sort of like grabbed the show and just like had his way with it. And I mean, I think of that part of it as Crate the Musical. He injured his leg and had this crate that was like a massive part of the show.
I'm kind of sad that because I saw the Crate show. I didn't see it before the Crate.
I like the Crate show better. And I think he did too.
Well, there was less pressure kind of as far as
yeah.
Like
dancing.
Yeah. Like, it was in the air with my crate.
Yeah.
So.
But you know, he's brilliant, obviously, and he sort of is Hedwig. So I don't know, watching him is almost, I almost feel like he's in his own little category. Because he's like, when he's up on stage, he's simultaneously like the writer, director, and star. It's just like a different paradigm from anybody else in that role. Yeah, let's see. And Darren was like a fireball. I don't know if I've ever met anyone with as much energy as him. whenever we would hang out afterwards, he would be like, we're all sort of like, and he's just like still shooting. I mean, who knows when he even went to bed. And his vocals were really amazing. He made some like small changes to some of the actual like melodies that I wouldn't mind, like, I mean, don't tell Steve I said, but I wouldn't mind keeping him. So definitely I think like his physical presence was really kind of amazing to watch, and his singing was great. Yeah, he was like a Fast and Furious Hedwig. And now it's Tay time, and Tay is totally hilarious. In just sort of like a basic way, he might be the funniest Hedwig, in my opinion. He's got all this physical comedy stuff going on that, like, I don't think anybody saw coming. I think they all thought that they were, like, hiring the heartthrob, which, of course, they are. But they're also, I think, they've gotten this, like, you know, physical comedy, like, it's almost like a stand-up vibe that he is bringing to it. And it's really interesting, and he's really interacting with us a lot, which some nights it's, you know, we've laughed a few times on stage, more than a few times.
Like breaking character, or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to hurry and get there while it's still funny.
You'll be fine. No, I think it's going to stay funny, but hopefully by the time you get there, we won't be laughing noticeably. Yeah, so he's pretty fun.
So I saw a Twitter campaign for you to be Hedwig. Do you know about that? Are you... Would you ever in a million years want to be Hedwig?
Yeah, I would like to, but... I think the odds of me becoming famous enough to do that before this show closes, slim to none.
Maybe there'll be a revival in like 10 years or something.
Yeah, maybe. I was saying that to some of the fans after one of the shows. I was like, you know, it's a 1,000 capacity theater, right? And they're like, what? We'll come. Like, there are 12 of you. I appreciate that, though.
You have 12 fans? You yourself?
Yeah. So that's... What is that? That's like 1%.
Yeah, I guess.
The Schubert's will frown on 1%.
Sheena asked me to ask you.
Yeah.
She wants to know your middle name.
I thought I told them. No? It's Scott.
Scott, okay. And are you a Harry Potter fan?
For the most part.
Okay.
I read them when I was in my late 20s for the first time. All that school stuff was sort of annoying. I'm like, yeah, I get it. You had a hard test. I don't want to think about that anymore. I did that a long time ago. It's never going to happen again. But other than that, yes.
Okay, well, they asked, what Hogwarts house do you feel that you would be a part of?
Well, if you've ever seen me get my hair done, there's a brief period where it's bleached. I look a lot like Malfoy.
So you're a Slytherin?
I mean...
Because you look like...
Because I look like
okay, alright, if that's your reasoning. Shayna feels that you would be a Hufflepuff, by the way.
No, that's... I mean, I get that. Okay. That makes sense.
I wanted to ask you what the craziest thing you've ever seen happen at Hedwig is.
I love this sort of like scary looking dude who was just like frowning through the whole show and then didn't start smiling until he was spit on. He was like, alright, I respect you. That was cool.
Who was that?
I think it was Neil. Oh gosh. Yeah. When Michael C. Hall fell into that woman's lap, it was beautiful. He was doing the car wash and he just fell backwards.
Oh my God.
And just like slid into their lap, because you know everybody's watching him, so like they were ready for it when it happened. But during the rehearsals, Neil on April Fool's Day pretended to fall, and and like break his foot.
Oh my god.
And we're all just like, everybody's just like not breathing. And then he like popped up, he's like, April Fools, and we're like, you asshole. So then of course Michael Mayer, the director, was like, got him to call the producer and tell him what happened.
That he broke his foot?
Yeah, he broke his foot. And it was so cruel, but also I really loved the direction he went with it. He was like, no, it's not, it's okay, it's just, I don't know if my foot is going to fit into the shoe. It's very, very swollen. I just love that he went that angle. They, like, he was perfectly willing to go on stage, but with the shoes fit. I thought that was just a funny angle. So that was great. I mean, there's definitely tons of stuff, but it's not, I'm having trouble coming up with it. A lot of it involves obscenities and inappropriate.
Okay. What about, like, fan moments? There's, like, some Hedwig fans are...
They're intense.
Yeah. So has there ever been, like, fan moment that you remember? Anything happened to you in particular?
Birthday with all the blue stuff was pretty awesome. I was impressed at how well the colors matched. It was a very uniform gift basket.
Okay, and there was the cotton candy balls?
Yeah.
Did you eat them?
Yeah, I had a few.
What do they taste like?
They taste exactly like corn balls covered in cotton candy dust. I mean, they really...
Were they good?
I wouldn't go that far, but...
I'm like, that sounds disgusting.
But they just taste like cereal. They taste like, maybe Cap'n Crunch or something. So yeah, when I first saw them, I was like, that's not right. But yeah, they're actually pretty decent.
Do you still have, do you guys snack on them, or are they gone?
They're still in there. And I'm going to guess that they're going to be good for a while.
All right, well, if people want to find more of you, where can they go?
More
music? You said you're not that good at the social media yet, so...
No.
So following on Twitter is probably not the way to go.
Well, no, I mean... think of following me on Twitter and Instagram as, like, an investment. It's like a speculative thing rather than an actual, you know... It's like the stock market. Like, maybe it'll pay off. You know, hard to say. I have every intention of becoming a more responsible, at least Twitter user. I think, and also just Google my name.
Do you have a website?
Matt-Duncan.com. And yeah, I've got a SoundCloud, and I've got all the stuff that you expect someone to have. And there aren't really that many Matt Duncans.
But is it all linked on Matt-Duncan.com?
Yeah, sure.
And is the Rough Trade show sold out yet, do you know?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe you can get tickets soon.
you might be able to.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
I will let you say bye.
Bye, guys.